question for you. What do artists like the Buena Vista Social Club, Emmylou Harris,
waiting for the Alabama sun to go down to a red dirt girls in a red dirt town, me and Lillian,
and Polish classical composer Henryk Gorecki? Have in common. What they all have in common is their record label, Nonesuch, a sort of boutique division of the far more mainstream and profitable Warner Music Group. And more specifically, they have in common Robert Hurwitz, who's been president of Nonesuch since 1984. Nonesuch has also released albums from Caetano Veloso, Astor Piazzolla, Brad Mehldau, and Pat Metheny, The Black Keys, Bill Frisell, Katie Lang, Brian Wilson. Classical music composer John Adams compares Bob Hurwitz to a great book editor. Stephen Sondheim calls him a master craftsman. He's stepping down as president next year to become chairman emeritus. In a way, he's just switching mountain peaks. So for this week's View from the Top, our conversation with Bob Hurwitz. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Wow, what a career. Head of the label, executive producer of dozens of albums, and after it was all done, the artists like you, which doesn't often happen.
Well, I like them as well.
Well, is that a part of it?
Yes. You know, people have a conception of musicians as being temperamental or self-centered. I have to say that almost without exception, there is a kind of common thread of decency amongst the community of musicians who I've worked with over the last three decades at Nonesuch.
Composer Steve Reich says, when you hear something you like, no matter what the genre, you sign that artist.
Well, I've always felt that I have a remarkably easy job. Sometimes what you hear in the first 20 or 30 seconds, where you're following your instincts, can be shockingly on the mark. And the idea of liking something is one of the two criteria that I've always tried to use. The other one is if it's original. So that there are things that I like, but other people are doing it, and I probably won't sign that artist. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are doing something original, but I don't like it, and I probably won't sign that artist. But the rarest thing is when you hear someone who's doing something you have never heard before, and you love it. And then it's a kind of instant reaction, almost like falling in love.
We've been listening to some Steve Reich. In its day, it was those things. It was original.
One of the fastest trains. One of the fastest trains.
Steve is clearly one of the most important musicians of the second half of the 20th century. And along with Philip Glass, Terry Riley, and a few other people, I think changed the course of music.
Well, what else do you do, Bob Hurwitz? You're going to continue as a chairman emeritus, and you will be executive producing albums. What does that mean? I mean, does that a money function, or do you literally tell someone like a Stephen Reich or John Adams? You published his 1987 opera Nixon in China. You tell them, you know, I kind of don't like this part here. What does that mean, EP?
No. With people like John and Steve, you just stay out of the way. As far as your other question, come January 2017, the thing I will not be doing is waking up every morning and having the responsibility for Nonesuch. And, you know, in this world, the music business, people are saying, has gone through all these transitions, and they say it's a very difficult business. But in fact, it's always been a difficult business. And I remember back in the early 80s when I got the job, I wrote down about 15 lines on a piece of paper. And one of those was, this job will always be difficult and never take it for granted.
Well, but let's talk about what that means, that it's difficult to run a company. We'll listen to a little of Pat Metheny. He's been with you since an early recording, Bright Size Life. He told us in an email that you're among the last of a long line of special people in the record industry who truly earn a deeply trusted place in the hearts of musicians because of how you work with them, balancing art with industry profit. So tell us more about, you know, what does that mean to you, and tie it into it's difficult to run a record label.
One of the roles of a person like myself is balancing those worlds of art and commerce. To the people on the corporate side, it's the notion of spending their money as if it's your own money. In terms of the artist side, is respecting their art and their craft and acting in the most supportive possible manner that is going to give them the freedom to do the best work.
Yeah, it's saying to Warner Brothers, this is not going to be Justin Bieber, but it's going to be great and worth our investment. You know, it's not going
to
have
And you have to remember that. Whether you're talking about Emmylou Harris or Justin Bieber, we're living in a very, very big world. You could even look at Adele, who is the biggest artist in the world today and will probably sell 15 million copies in America alone of Adele 25, which means there's probably going to be over 300 million people who won't buy the record. The world of music is incredibly vast, and there's a lot of people out there who are just like me and possibly you as well, who have an interest in something that's not part of the popular culture of that minute.
Well, your instincts have paid off because they may not be popular culture when you bet on them, but then they often become popular culture. Chris Thiele, Punch Brothers. Audra McDonald, here she is with The Stars and the Moon in 1998. Let's listen to it.
I met a man who had no yearn or claim to fame, who was content to let life pass him for a while. Sure that all I ever wanted was a life like the movie stars led. And he kissed me right here and he said, I'll give you stars and the moon and the soul to guide you.
But Barbara, would you mention Adele and her huge record sales? She is one of, I think, just a handful, maybe only two artists who said, oh, I'm not going to stream. We are told, again by Pat Metheny, that you're one of the few industry leaders who doesn't hand-wring over streaming. Why? Why don't you worry about that in the future of records when people can just stream them and only a couple artists can say, nope, you got to buy the record?
You know, the streaming question is a complicated issue. And I think that we are in the midst of a story that is developing, but we don't know what's going to come out on the other side. The one thing that we do know is that streaming for track-oriented artists or single-oriented artists is a kind of real boon to those artists and to record companies. Conversely, for album-oriented artists, there's still a way that has to be found that's going to become more successful.
Well, as we said, you're going to continue to executive produce albums. Just briefly, is there somebody out there now you're thinking, I want them, or is that the excitement? You don't know who they are yet.
Well, you don't know who they are, but you know that's one of the biggest rushes. Back in 1996, I got a call from someone named Omis Hirschbein, who was the head of the 92nd Street Y, who said, you know, I never call you about seeing things because I know you're busy and I know you have very specific tastes, but you have to go see this show, Playwrights Horizons. It's a show called Floyd Collins.
I'm ready now, Lord. I know I weren't no Sunday school mama's boy, but faith is hoping for something. Believe in what you can't see. I have faith all my life.
That was written by Adam Gettle. In the first, you know, 60 seconds, I was in tears. I mean, I went up to him at intermission and said, "Hi, my name is Bob Hurwitz, and I want to record this." He thought I was probably crazy because the show wasn't even going to Broadway. You know, his next show, which was Light in the Piazza, ended up winning 6 Tony Awards.
Bob Hurwitz, thank you so much. He is president of Nonesuch Records. He'll be transitioning to chairman emeritus next year. And there are so many other artists, Bob Hurwitz says. He heard Lorraine Hunt Lieberson singing and approached her and said, "I have to record you." He regrets he was only able to make 3 recordings before she died way too young at 52 in 2006. But thanks to him, we have this. You're listening to Here and Now.